All right. Well, greetings and God bless all of you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. I guess if we just said amen and went to bed, we'd be okay, wouldn't we? Wow. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July. We certainly are a blessed people, aren't we? We get to experience a level of freedom that other nations on the planet can only dream of at this point. And with that, we get to freely worship our Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we get to freely open the scriptures and fully tap into the things of God to enrich our relationship with him. It truly is spectacular. Well, it's most certainly great to be back sharing on the promises of God's word. I'm sure all of you can attest that it is one of the great joys of life to be able to stand or sit before one another and open God's word in hopes that we could all achieve something common together and really learn something that will take us deeper into our relationship with our Father. And we all know this, we've all said this before, but one of us has got it all figured out. And we're all on this journey together, and we're all continuing to learn and grow. And I think that's really exciting and wonderful thing to be able to learn and grow with each other and to be taught by one another. And I think it's safe to say that we would like to continue to grow in the greatness of our Heavenly Father and really try to better understand the things of him and what he really wants us to do in the midst of our daily walk. Well, last time I had the privilege of sharing on part one of a series, well, mini-series I've entitled The Results Are In, because that's what our walk is about. We love to see fruit. We love to see the results of what our Father can do. So part one was all about really finding the presence of God, whatever that means for you, and really finding rest in the presence. Well, tonight I've entitled part two, Making Our Father Proud. Making Our Father Proud. And I trust that this is a crucial part of our walk with our Heavenly Father, because I think it's reasonable to assume that in everything that we do, when it comes to our God, we strive to make him proud. But let's get one thing straight here right off the bat. We are all God's best. So don't sell yourself short on that. We are not seen through the eyes of the world, but we are seen through the eyes of the Creator. And we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our lives stretch far beyond the room in which we're sitting in. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your colleagues, many, many people who our lives touch. And we've already made our Heavenly Father super proud right off the bat when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So we've alluded to this many times, time and time again, but I want you to think about something. I want you to think about who you are in Christ. And I want you to think about what that by itself means to the Heavenly Father. You know, growing up, I never really knew what route I wanted to take career-wise up until I discovered music and performing. But even in high school, right before I graduated, I was pretty unsure of what I wanted to do. And I remember laying in bed one night, being distraught over the fact that I had not chosen the path that I wanted to go down on in life. I had been surrounded by many peers who were already decided on what they wanted to pursue. And they all told me one thing, because I would ask them, how did you figure this out so quickly? We're still young, which I knew was fine at the time, but still kind of wondered. And they all kind of said the same thing. Oh, I chose this career because it's going to make my parents proud. I want to make my parents proud. And this idea kind of stuck in my head. One day I asked my father if the path that I eventually decided to take would result in him being proud of me. And I was worried that he would say if I told him I decided to pursue one of the toughest careers known to life as we know it, that he wouldn't be proud of me. But his response was this. He goes, "Son, I'm proud of you no matter what. The path you decide to take in life is up to you. Do what makes you happy. Do what you enjoy. As long as you do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord." He then quoted Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, has any one of you ever thought about what your own image looks like to others in this world? We've all done it. And I'm sure if we were all sitting in the same room, we would all be raising our hand. Because the truth of the matter is, in the five senses realm, we've all been conscious of how we present ourselves to others other than our Heavenly Father. Well, here's the thing. God doesn't require anything in particular from any of those who are part of his family. Now, last Wednesday, we took a look in the scriptures at doing good works. And I jotted down the good works that were shared by Reverend Bob Linfield. He said, and I quote, "Good works are a testament to our walk with the Father. Number one, prayer, really sitting down face to face with the Father and really asking him what he would have us to do. Number two, giving, whether it's financial giving, giving to other brothers and sisters, giving to someone in need, what have you. Number three, thanksgiving. Our Father loves when we pray in thanksgiving, simply acknowledging the fact that he's done so much for us is an act of service to him. And number four, just like I mentioned, acts of service. Now, I'm going to come back to this one, and I'm going to piggyback off of this topic of acts of service. I've decided to add to the list. Another thing we can do for our Father is study. We all know 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Going to the actual scriptures and accurately dissecting the written word is something else we can do for him. When we go to the written word and really study it in a meaningful way, to further what we can do as born-again ones, it makes our Father proud. Probably looks at us and says, "That's my child. That's my child." Well, as promised, I said I would piggyback off of acts of service. One big act of service, and we've discussed this before in the past, is partnering with him in outreach. After all, he's given us the sonship right of the ministry of reconciliation, and he has given us the privilege of holding forth the words of life so that others can go from death unto life. How do you think that makes him feel? When we win over a person in need and bring them to be a part of the family, God's family, how do you think that makes him feel? What do they say? The angels throw a little party up in heaven, don't they? Well, the word of God is the will of God. And according to the scriptures, we have great power and things to utilize to do something a little bit more for him. And guess what? If you're stuck, it doesn't hurt to ask. Even asking what we can do for him is something I'm sure that God really appreciates. You know, oftentimes we ask him for things. We ask him for things that we need, you know, intercessory prayer. We ask him for this and that. And maybe sometimes stop and think about, okay, Father, what can I do for you today? We're going to go take a look at James chapter 1. You're welcome to turn there if you would like, or you may listen. And in James 1, verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, do you think that the will of God was given to us for no reason? Do you think that God's word was just written to be read and left on a shelf? How about when authors write books and get them published and released into bookstores? You think they get their books published for no reason? Well, not usually. People write books because they want to ensure that something in the perspective of the reader changes in some specific way. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. And guess what? Not one thing that is laid out in God's Word is there for no reason. And not one thing that the Father tells us to do is going to go unnoticed or is for no reason. Don't believe me? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, it says in verse 5 of Psalm 25, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, and teach me thy paths." You know, there's so much work to be done here, guys. The world is a dark place, and the gospel of Christ needs to be spread far and wide. And as long as we keep our eyes fixed on him, and as long as our hearts are aligned with what he wants us to do, I think it's safe to say that it's a great joy and privilege to be a part of the family because God makes it so easy. Well, I wasn't sure how to end this tonight, but I think it's reasonable to close in Hebrews chapter 11. Way in the back here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." See? Nothing goes without recognition when it comes to our Father. If nothing else, we can sure actively seek him and talk with him just a little bit more as time goes on. To get to know him as best as we possibly can would be considered a good enough work for him, I would say. But he's done so much more than we could ever dream of, and there are really no limits on what we can do for him. And after all that Christ endured and accomplished, I'd say we'd have no excuses. You know, perhaps an alternative title for the sharing would be "No Excuses," because if you think about it, it's so simple. Because everything that we need to do to be successful in this walk in Christ is laid out in the scriptures. It's all laid out in the scriptures. So I trust that the call to action tonight was clear. Making our Father proud is easy, but if you need a little help just go to the scriptures and maybe even spend time with him to ask, okay, Father, what are you going to have me do today? Because we all know that there's plenty of labor out in the harvest. There's plenty of labor out there for us to do. So I trust that we will all continue in this journey together and continue our walk with our Father and really tap into the things of God, because that's what this lifestyle is all about. All right? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you are, for all that you are to us, Father. We thank you that your word is just so simple. And you have laid out the groundwork for us. We have no excuses, Father. We really don't. We thank you for what your Son accomplished, and we are ready to continue to do the work that needs to be done. So thank you for all you've done, Father, and pray in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.